You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and be opening to the book of Hebrews. It's good to be with you this morning. I am trusting that preaching is like riding a bike. It's been a little while since I've done this, but I hope it all comes back to me. But I am so excited to be here this morning and get to look at this passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews. Some of you know this about me, not everyone. But when I study, I normally study late at night, and I have to have a little noise, which is usually provided by the television. But normally I don't watch what's on. It's just a noise for me. But through the years, I kind of became a fan of a series on television, and I loved how it always began. It began this way. Sometimes I would get so into it that I would literally lay my Bible down and quit studying for about an hour until that particular episode was over. It would open like this. Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, and my favorite part, and to boldly go where no man had gone before. Wow. There's a little Trekkie in me. And then all of a sudden, I would get so excited that I would lay my Bible down because I was going to go now with them where no man had ever gone before. And it was amazing. Now, this morning, I'm not going to show a rerun of Star Trek. But we're going to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. We're going to title this message, Jesus, the Great High Priest. But we're going to subtitle it, He Went Where No Man Had Gone Before. Would you stand with me and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Begin with verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet, you ready for this? Without sin. Amen. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Father, you know Corey grinned when he said, hey, Dad, would you teach this passage? Wow. What a passage to get to preach. But Father, I'm going to rely not on my physical ability, but on your anointing. And I just want to rest in you right now. And trust you're going to do what you promised you'd do, and that's anoint and honor the preaching of your word. Father, I want you to anoint our congregation. Don't let us just have a physical experience. Let's let us have also a spiritual and emotional experience with your word. And Father, as the speaker and as the hearer, I think I can say that none of us want to be hearers only or speakers only, but we want to be doers of your word. And so Father, for these two practical application statements based on Jesus being our high priest, please empower us to live this out. Father, I trust you're going to take your word now and do what only you can do. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. And it's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I personally believe that we're in a transition moment in the sermon that's being preached by a Jewish preacher to a Jewish congregation somewhere in or near the city of Rome during a time when the Roman government has begun to persecute Christians, but not Jews. He has just been in the first part of his sermon telling us Jesus is, as Corey said, the goat. He's greater than the angels. He's even greater than Moses. He's the goat. But now in the sermon, we're going to switch from the person of Jesus to the priesthood of Jesus. After reminding us with 13 verses that salvation is not something that we do, but salvation is actually a rest. Salvation is coming to that place to where we rest in what God has done for us and we cease to trust in what we do for Him. And now He's going to transition to tell us why that rest is possible. Since then, we have a great high priest. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, this is the first time in Scripture the word great as an adjective has been attached to a high priest. Why? Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I want to be honest with you. Because of how long I've studied the Bible and how long I've been a Christian, when I read this passage afresh, my first reaction is this. Wow. 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 Not one wow, not two wows, three wows. Our great high priest has passed through the heavens. But you got to remember, this was first preached to a Jewish congregation. Now, please make sure you understand this. When the congregation assembles, not everybody who's in the assembly are of the assembly. And there were many people in this congregation that thought they were in, but weren't really in. And because of the persecution that was getting ready to come upon the church, many of them were going to start thinking about going back to what they previously believed in, and that was the law of Moses and the sacrificial offering that was made on the Day of Atonement to make them right with God. And so to that group, they would not have said, wow. They would have said, what? Because see, he's drawing on an imagery. The imagery was of the high priest who one time a year at a specific moment went into the presence of God called the Holy of Holies, and he made a sacrifice for the sins of the people that never dealt with what they really done. It just rolled their sin forward. So here was their picture. The high priest passed through that wall of the outer courtyard into the outer courtyard, and he came to the brazen laver and the brazen altar. And after doing what he would do in all of his priestly regalia, he would then come to the holy place, and he would pass through the door of the holy place into the holy place, and there'd be the table of the showbread and the candlestick, and then he would be facing that veil. And behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. At each end of that Ark of the Covenant, there was a cherub with his arms stretched out, guarding the presence of God. This time for the high priest, a little fear. He's now gonna go where only he can go one time a year, and he's got to get in there and he's got to get done what he's supposed to do, sprinkle the blood on the altar and get out as quick as he can, because he's gonna be in the presence of the Shekinah glory cloud of God. God who is holy, holy, holy. Yes, he's done. Put his hands on the animal and transferred his sins to that animal, and he's made a sacrifice for his sins. And now he's bringing that sacrifice into the altar as well as the sin of all the people. And just in case he's not right with God and God strikes him dead in his presence, they've got a rope tied around his ankle. Because nobody else can go in there if he dies, if God kills him. There's a priest in the holy place that's going to be listening, but he can't see once that veil closes what God is going to do. So they've put bells in the hem of his robe so that while he's doing what he's doing, he can hear the noise. Wow. Since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the veil. No, passed through the heavens. Wow. I don't get it. Why don't you just say, wow? Yes. Now please know what's happening here. I know you know this. The Jewish people based their thought of the heavens on that picture of the high priest passing through the courtyard, passing through the holy place, passing into the Holy of Holies. And they constructed the universe as a three-storied universe, three heavens. First heaven is where the birds fly. It's where the air is that we breathe. We call this the atmosphere. We know it's about 7 miles deep. And then once you pass through that heaven, if you could, there's a second heaven, and it's called space. The final frontier. Not to a Jew. Star Trek missed it here. But this is where the planets are. This is where the sun is. This is where the constellations are. When you're traveling down here, we travel by miles per hour. Speed of sound. But out there, the speed of light. And there are things millions of, not miles, but light years away from us. Wow. And then the third heaven. Remember Paul went there spiritually, he said? That's where God is. So Jesus passed through plural heavens. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there first ascension service? He's just talking to you, and then all of a sudden, I'm asked, why am I standing here gazing? All of a sudden, he's now in that second heaven where the demonic beings are. And he passes right on through. And then he comes into the presence of God. He had left God's presence earlier. So can I do this and not be disrespectful, but being someone who loves science a little bit and loves space exploration and loves Star Trek, we call this re-entry. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Apollo 13. Did any of you see Apollo 13? Boy, it gets really, we got a danger when we're gonna re-enter the atmosphere. Have you thought about this before? This is re-entry for Jesus. When he left, roughly 33 years earlier, he left as the second person of the triune Godhead, the Son of God. But when he went back, he did not go back as who he had been when he left. He left fully God. But when he went back, he was fully man and fully God at the same time. Wow. He who had always been who he was remained who he was, but became who he had never been, a man. And when he got back to heaven, he's now standing in the literal holy of holies. He's in the presence of God. No rope on his leg, no bells on his robe. You know what I think the Father said to him? Fully God, fully man. Have a seat. And he took his seat. Are y'all ready for this? There was no seat in the Holy of Holies on earth because there was never a sacrifice that could be made by a high priest that would once and for all deal with sin. So Jesus Christ, our great high priest, done what no high priest had ever done before. He went into the presence of God and he sat down. Yes. Sat down. Are you listening to me? As a man. See, there's some of you who believe he just took upon a body, used that body, then discarded that body and went back to heaven. He became a man, just like you and just like me. And because of his love for us and God's plan for us, you have to understand this. He will forever, ever be throughout all of eternity, not just God, but the God-man. So he went where no man had gone before and is still there in the literal presence of God, and he's seated. Because when he took that seat, God was declaring that it's finished. Amen. What's finished? Your salvation and my salvation. And so Christ is resting from what he did in providing salvation for us because he completely finished our salvation on the cross and he took a seat and he's resting. And that's why last week, Chris, God bless him, had a difficult passage, but he brought home the point that our salvation is not what we do for God, but it's for what God has done for us. And we are what? Resting in Christ. Salvation is a rest. Amen? Wow. It's because of the finished work of Christ. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've been there before. I've done it. Finished a project? that Mimish gave me, finished it, can't wait for her to come home. I'm in the chair, resting. Now, when she comes in and sees me in the chair, she knows I'm resting, and she wants to know when I'm going to get out of the chair and go back in, and I'm just waiting. And then I get to say, not getting out of this chair. What? Sweetie, I'm resting, not to take a break from what I was trying to do. I'm resting because I finished what you told me to do. When Jesus took that seat, he wasn't resting and then going to go back after he got energy to do what he needed to do. He took a seat because he finished our salvation once for all, and it's done. Woo! Glory to God. Let us, since then, we have this great high priest. Let us hold fast our confession. Whoo. See, there were some people in the crowd who were thinking about going back to Judaism. Because you know what? You could go back to Judaism and still, make that sacrifice, have that priest come under the law of Moses, and guess what? The Roman government would not persecute you. But if you stayed in the true church, you're going to be persecuted. Going to get tough. Man, we thought we got in this because we was going to go to heaven. And man, heaven's going to be great. But can I be honest with you? Getting there sometimes isn't real great. Y'all know this. Back in the spring, we took our family to Disney World for spring break. Had a great time. But getting there wasn't great. I don't mean no disrespect, but we're doing really good. We set everything just right, and we got to this city in Tennessee called Chattanooga. It was terrible. We had to get off the main road and get on some little bitty roads to finally get on the other side of Chattanooga hours later. And we're doing really good till we come to this city in Georgia called Atlanta. We're in three cars. One of us went around, one of us went through, one of us, we don't know where we went. Atlanta is a big city. I think our top speed was 7 miles per hour. Can I be honest with you? I love Disney World, but there were some times where I just said, I'm turning this thing back around and I'm going home. I had to really think, is this worth it? Now, this is why the preacher says, hold fast. In Dexter terminology, that means get a good grip. Haven't you ever been going to do something and had somebody with you and you warned them and you said, especially to your kid, son, I need you to help me here, but get a good grip. Here's what the writer's saying to the church. Get a good grip on what you've confessed. What have you confessed? You've confessed that Jesus is Lord of the universe, but the Lord of the universe, Jesus, is your personal Lord. So you have brought yourself under his lordship. You know he is sovereign. All things are either caused by him or allowed by him. Amen? Have you got a good grip on that yet? Then why do some of us act so surprised when what happens, happens? Because I'll be honest with you. Heaven's going to be glorious, but getting there's not fun. Wow. You got a good grip? Can we just look around and realize there's some folks who thought they had a confession and no longer are with us, not just not with us, not anywhere, and have totally abandoned Christ Church and have abandoned him. It could happen to any one of us in here. I know there's some of us uncomfortable right now because you believe only on the divine side of salvation. That's why you don't study the book of Hebrews very much, because it talks a lot about the human side of salvation. There are two sides of salvation, divine and human. And the divine side never negates, minimizes, or trivializes the human side. And the human side doesn't negate, minimize, or trivialize the divine side. But grab a hold here, guys. There is a divine side of salvation, but there's a human side. And the human side is, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, you better get a grip. And here's what he wants us to get a grip on. We got a high priest who's passed through the heavens and he's sitting at the right hand throne of God right now making intercession for us. And then here's what he tells us. We have a high priest, or we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Yet in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now y'all ready for this? Because he's seated, I'm supposed to hold fast. But now he's going to tell me two other things that make him a great high priest and makes him the goat. One, he's sinless. Two, he's sympathetic. But I want you to watch this. He starts with his sympatheticness, but his sympatheticness is based on his sinlessness. So instead of me saying Jesus is the great high priest because he's seated, sympathetic, sinless, I'm going to say it this way. He is our great high priest because he is seated, sinless, and sympathetic. Y'all ready for this? He was tempted just like you're tempted, yet without sin. Now, if I can be honest here, I think some of us think the life of Christ was rigged. If we can just be honest, I think we think this. Yeah, he was tempted, but he couldn't have sinned if he wanted to because he was fully God. And God can't ever sin. So that thought makes us think he's not really like us. Oh yeah, he was tempted, but not really, not like me. And to be honest, that's why some of us don't depend on him. I mean, you know who you're depending on. Your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your buddy. Yeah, but not Jesus. Because you don't think he understands. I just want to say to us, he understands. He was tempted like us, yet without sin. I'm not going to get into that argument with you. Could he or could he not have? I think he could have. Because he's fully man. And Philippians 2 tells me that when he left heaven, he chose not to rely upon his prerogative of being God, but he relied totally on the prerogative of being man. And he faced every situation just like I do, like Adam did. So he had the ability to sin or not to sin, but he didn't, or Adam chose to. And that brought sin into our lives. Amen. The Bible paints this picture of Jesus when he began his ministry, of fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and then being led out in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to take on Satan, I'm going to stock up on food. I'm going to ride my bicycle. I'm going to get in. I mean, you give me 40 days, I'm going to be ready. He goes without food or drink for 40 days, 40 nights. Now, I think this is just Brother Ricky's sanctified imagination. I think he did this just to give Satan a chance. Amen. Because on a full belly, can I say this? Satan didn't have a chance against Jesus. He was no match for him. So, 40-day, 40-night fast, totally into God, Satan brings it on. Now, I want to be careful here because Satan's never brought it on to Brother Ricky. I always get one of his lowest privates. I'm not big enough for Satan to come at me. But Jesus got Satan himself, not a private, not a lieutenant, not a colonel, not a major. And after a 40-day fast, Satan came at him, concerned about him. He said, man, you ain't eating in 40 days, 40 nights. Why don't you just turn these rocks into bread? I mean, what would have been wrong with that? And Jesus says, Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Woo, glory. Now, I want to make sure we understand this. John kind of paints temptation as coming to us in a threefold way. There's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Agreed? So Satan just come at Jesus from a flesh perspective. You need to feed yourself, son. Then he says, hey, come with me. And they go up to the top of the temple, and Satan looks at Jesus and says, you know what? Why don't you just prove who you really are? If you are the Son of God, why don't you jump off this temple? Now see, Satan evidently knows he's man. Why don't you just jump off this temple? And here's what the Bible says. God will send angels and they'll keep you from falling and even bruising your little toe. Just show us who you are. Ooh, that's a pride thing. Yeah. Back me in a corner and let me show you who I really am. And Jesus doesn't fall for that. Doesn't fall for it all, even though Satan used scripture against him. Then you know the next one. Takes him to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says this to him, hey, I'll give all these to you. And evidently he had the authority to give them to him. If you'll just fall down, bow down, worship me. Now, I'll tell you what he's doing here. And this is so attractive to us as Christians living in America. Yeah. Path of least resistance. Let's get what we really want, but we shouldn't have to suffer in the process. Because he was going to get the kingdoms of the world, but you know what it was going to cost him? It was going to cost him going to a cross and dying on that cross and taking the sin of humanity on him and paying our sin debt. But now Satan's offered to him if he'll just bow down and worship. And he didn't fall for it. Didn't fall for it. Now, don't think this is the only time he was tempted. I think he was tempted every day of his life. Just like you're tempted. And yet not one time did he give in to sin. Not one time. Now y'all ready for this? Because of that, he's a sympathetic high priest. Sympathy means to suffer or feel something. To be sympathetic is another level. It means that you're compassionate because of someone's suffering and feelings, and you're willing to aid them or help them. There's a lot of people who have sympathy but are not sympathetic. He's a sympathetic high priest. Why? Because he's been where we've been. He's been tempted. Now, why don't we go to him more? See, we've got this wrong concept. I've learned it as a pastor. I'm over it now. But I used to believe like you believe that to really sympathize with somebody and be sympathetic with somebody, you've got to experience what they experienced. So I'm a young pastor and something happens to him and I go minister to him and I say, oh, I'm so sorry. I understand what you're going through. And then, boom, I have this thought. No, I don't. I'm going home to Salisa. I've still got Kiki and Corey. I've still got the greatest of Christ's church at Hardin. And it's what we've all been programmed to believe. Unless someone has been exactly where we're at and experienced what we've experienced, you can't really know what's happening. So all of a sudden, I'm with someone, and they're telling their story, and I'm listening, and then this person will say, been there, done that. Any of you ever heard that expression? Been there, done that. And now all of a sudden that person opens up and they start sharing with this person because this other person's been there, done that, but Brother Ricky has never done that. So because I hadn't done that, evidently I can't be sympathetic. I can't help. That is a lie. Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ in everything you experience can say this, been there, been there, been there, been there, been there, didn't do it. Woo! Amen, did you hear that? Been there, didn't do it. Been there, didn't do it. Been there, didn't do it. You say, Brother Ricky, you've lost it. No, I haven't. Are you ready for this? He was where you were in that moment of temptation, but you gave in to it. He didn't give in to it. So he went deeper. And he went deeper into temptation, and deeper into temptation, and deeper into temptation, and deeper into temptation. Do you really want to get counsel from someone who's been there and done that? Or do you want to get counsel from someone who's been there, didn't do that? Yes. Yes. We have a great high priest who's been there, didn't do that, and he's sympathetic. He understands. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to come to him. But you know where he is? He's the right-hand throne of God, seated in the Holy of Holies. Whoa, Brother Ricky, only that. Y'all ready for this? When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and he came back out, they made sure the curtain was closed. Amen? Jesus went into the true Holy of Holies and the curtain is still open. Amen? I mean, does my Bible not teach that when Jesus died his death on that cross, what happened to the veil in the temple? It was torn from bottom to top, no, top to bottom. As a signification that the way into the presence of God is now open, and you and me now, because Jesus is our high priest sitting in the presence of God, you and I down here can come into the very presence of the throne of God with confidence. Wow. Now I got to be honest with you, in the Old Testament, the throne of God didn't seem so much to be a throne of grace as a throne of judgment. I mean, y'all remember when Moses was facing the presence of God? God told him what? Take off your shoes. Better you on holy ground. You remember when God gave the law to Moses up on the mountaintop? And man, they wouldn't even touch it. They wouldn't even go up on it. It was quaking and thundering and lightning and dark. Whew. So you ran from God. You kept your distance from God. Isaiah 6. God is holy, holy, holy. And those seraphim, they cover their face and they cover their feet because he's holy, holy, holy. This is why some of us rather run to a friend. We'd rather run to a husband. We'd rather run to our wife. Rather run to our mom and dad. Rather run to Jesus. Because we view where he is as a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. And he says, come. The preacher's saying, let us who are holding fast to our confession, who have a good grip on what we believe is true. Jesus is the Son of God sitting at the right-hand throne of God because he made a sacrifice on the cross that finished our salvation, and we're at rest in him. Now, on our way to him, it gets rough and it gets tough, and guess what? I'm going to need a little mercy and I'm going to need a little grace. And you know where I get it? I get it from him. So I got to draw near with confidence. This word confidence means speak your mind. I love it. I love it. Last few weeks, I've had some people talking to me and they've said, Brother Ricky, here's what I said to God. And then they say, now I know I shouldn't have told him this. And buddy, they let him have it. Woo, glory. And you know what I said? I hope you'll be proud of this. If you're not, don't matter. I'm not lead pastor anymore. I'm just pastor of care, okay? Y'all ready for this? Here's what I said. I said, don't you feel bad a bit? They was like, what? Uh-uh. If you're thinking it, you say it to him. Don't pick up the phone and call him. Go right to the throne and speak your mind, speak your heart. You know why? Because you have this truth. He's been where you're at. But he didn't do it. But he understands. And you know what he's going to give you? Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. Now, I want to be honest here. I know traditionally we define mercy this way, kind of. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. And grace is God bestowing upon us what we don't deserve. But I want to tweak this just a little bit, okay? Not saying that's not true. But in this moment as a believer, when you've done something you shouldn't have done, or somebody done something to you that they shouldn't have done, or you're being tempted to do something you shouldn't do, you need to come to the throne. The door's open, you come right into the presence of God, knowing your high priest, the one you're gonna talk to, fully understands because he's been there. And here's what he's gonna give you. He's gonna give you mercy. You ready for this? Here's mercy, according to Brother Ricky. It's the ability to get over it. Some of you have done some things that, truthfully, you caused so much hurt, you don't deserve to get over it, but God's going to let you get over it. That's mercy. And how dare we as Christians want mercy from God but not give mercy to others? Amen? You ready for this? There's been some people that's done some things to you, and you need to go to God so that he'll give you the ability to get over what they did to you. Don't tell me he doesn't understand. He does. They put him on a cross. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I've always said this. If there had been a reporter there interviewing those people, hey, Jesus just said you don't know what you're doing, they'd have took issue with that. Yeah, we know what we're doing. He committed blasphemy. We're boom, 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 boom. But Jesus knew they didn't really get it. Don't tell me he doesn't understand. I may not understand, but he understands. Because he's been there, didn't do it. Therefore, he can help you get over it. Some of you still aren't over what you did years ago. Come to the throne. Rest in what Christ does, and he'll give you the ability to get over it. And he doesn't just give you the ability to get over it. He gives you grace, which is the ability to get on with it. Amen? Amen. Get on with it. Yes, you blew it. Yes, someone sinned against you, but we don't let that sideline us and set us on the bench. We get back in the game for the glory of God because he gives us the ability not only to get over it, but to get on with it. Amen? And when do we get this? In our time of need. Now I've got 2 minutes and 5 seconds. I got to hurry. Y'all ready for this? If I was translating this, I never will translate it literally and have a Brother Rick edition of the Bible, but here's what I know this really means, Dexter terminology. You get grace and mercy in the nick of time. Whoo, in the nick of time. I know you who know, Salisa and I know we're different in one area. We both prepare for everything we do. She just prepares longer and sooner than I start preparing. If Salisa's invited to do something, she's going to spend 2-3 weeks being fully ready for that. Now, I'm going to prepare too. I'm just going to take a couple of days or a couple of hours, but we're both going to be ready. Okay? Now, watch this. When I go to God, I like to get it at least a day or two ahead. Salisa likes to have it a couple of weeks ahead. And if we're not careful, woo, we get in that mode to where it's like, what are we going to do? And then we start, what are we going to do? We're not going to do anything. We're just going to rest. Because you know when the mercy and grace is going to get to us? In the nick of time. And it's never going to be a day or a minute or an hour late. It's always going to be in the nick of time. Our life is to bring glory to God as we get a good grip and we stay in his presence, letting him bestow the ability to get over what's been done to us and then get on with it. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes just for a second? 7 seconds is all we've got. Would you just tell God right now what's on your heart? Did you need to hear that he's seated, that he's sinless, and he's sympathetic? Jesus, your high priest. Will you get a good grip this morning? Will you draw near? Hey guys, we are not dismissed. We are sent. Woo, praise the Lord.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.